On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he has told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Then picking up the reading at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Doubt rise in your minds. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, it became of joy and amazement. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
And boys and girls and mums and dads, I've got a box here. And I've got something in my box. So I want you to put your hands up. And you can have a guess as to what is in my box. I'm just going to put it down carefully down there. Okay, any ideas as to what is in my box this morning? Yes, it's Ben or Joshua. I can never tell which one. Ben. An Easter egg. Okay, is that what you'd like it to be in there? Well, it might be an Easter egg. You never know. Yes, what do you think it is? A Bible? Perhaps it could be a Bible. I'm not giving it away just yet. Any other ideas as to what it might be? It's a big box. It's a big Easter egg if it's in that box. Go on, yes. Balloons. Is it full of balloons? It could be. What could be inside my box? Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, I will give you one thing. This box is not empty. Oh, now you are all thinking it's an empty, you know, empty grave, empty box. No, there is something in my box. The box isn't empty. Okay, any other ideas as to what's in the box? It's quite a big box.
Lots of chocolates.
Lots of chocolates. Okay, well, some people are hopeful this morning. Well, you're just going to have to hold on for a minute, I'm afraid, because you will find out in a minute, but I'm not going to say just at the moment. But you've all got some ideas now and some ideas of things that are going through your mind as to what might be in my box. And perhaps the adults are thinking, oh, where's he going with this and what's inside his box? And you children are perhaps hopeful, maybe there might be something for you inside the box, you never know. But you've all got some idea and some expectation now as to what's inside the box. And as we come and as we look back at the first Easter Sunday, did you notice as we read, as Abby read for us, it was early in the morning on the first day of the week, and the women, they went to the tomb. And they had an expectation as to what they would find in the tomb. They had an idea of what was going to be there as they arrived on the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. We didn't read it, but if you'd have just read in the previous chapter, just a couple of verses before, Jesus, who had died on the cross, he'd been taken down off the cross by Joseph, and Joseph had taken Jesus' body and had laid it into this tomb, this huge cave that was cut out of the rock, and the stone had been rolled across. And we're told, and Luke is very careful to tell us in the previous chapter, that the women who followed Jesus, they saw this happen. They saw the body be taken down off the cross. They saw the body be laid in the grave. They were actually at the tomb. They knew where the tomb was. They went to the right tomb. And so they had an expectation as to what they'd find. They were expecting, as they went to that tomb on that Sunday morning, they were expecting a huge stone across the grave. They were expecting a body to be inside. They were expecting to go and anoint the body. And as they're going, they're thinking, well, how are we going to move this stone that's across the grave? And as they went, they were expecting the body to be there. They'd taken their spices to anoint the body. They weren't expecting the resurrection. Now, I need a volunteer to come. And you can have a look inside the box. And whatever's in the box, you can keep. Okay? So I need a volunteer. Let's have a look. Come on, Peter. Come on. Peter, whatever's inside this box, you can keep. But you've got to do me something. You've got to do me a favor first. Before you open it, what do you think's inside there?
Cloth.
Cloth. Okay. Peter thinks there's cloth inside there. Right, Peter, you can open the box. And whatever's inside, you can have. Well, hold it up so everyone can see. Is there anything else in the box?
No.
No. Are you disappointed?
No.
No, it's chocolate. Good. Go on then, Peter. Thank you. You can sit down. But this huge box, and you got this tiny little chocolate. Who's disappointed by what was inside the box? Who's expecting something more exciting? Yeah, a lot of the adults were expecting something more interesting and exciting. This huge box, just think how many chocolates I could have fitted inside this box, and I only put one in. Well, perhaps some of you had some expectation of there being lots of chocolates in the box. You know, you're disappointed as you see only one. And actually, boys and girls, I do have other chocolates with me, so if you come and find me at the end, you can have some. Huge box and a tiny chocolate, and it's a bit of a disappointment. Well, not for Peter, who's got the chocolate, but for everyone else who is expecting something exciting, it's just a bit of a disappointment. And actually, we know that in life. You know, I bought this big box, and it had a tiny chocolate in. But how many of you have had an Amazon parcel arrive and it's this huge, great big parcel and it's full of brown paper and you've got a small item in the corner? And it's just a bit disappointing. Now I've got this huge box to get rid of. Or perhaps when you're opening one of those boxes of sweets, you know, those cardboard boxes, and then inside there's a plastic wrapper with the sweets. And so you undo the plastic wrapper, pour the sweets into the box, and the sweets take up this much, and then there's air for the rest of it, and you think, they could have fitted so much more in there, and it's a bit of a disappointment. Or a bag of crisps, and it's just half empty. Things that you're expecting, and you think they could be full, but they're empty, and it's just a bit of a disappointment. I've got something else here, okay? I do have my Easter egg here, so here's my Easter egg. Now, I went and bought this week. It's 245 grams of chocolate and a bit of caramel in there, okay? It's a nice big box, and yet there's more chocolate in this than there is in there. And actually, this cost me less, and this was on offer. And you think, they could have fitted so much more in here. And so if you open the box, and once you've ripped away the box, and once you've opened the egg, and the egg's empty as well, and you think, well, it's all just a bit underwhelming. In fact, as boys, I've got two younger brothers. We once said to our parents, we said, we'd work this out, that Easter eggs cost a lot of money. And so we said, well, decide what you're going to spend on us, on our Easter eggs. And instead of getting it in Easter eggs, buy it in bars of chocolate because we'll get more. And so they did, amazingly. But there's so many things in life that we can identify with that we think, we expect them to be full, and they think, oh, they could be full, they could be so much more, and they're just a bit of a disappointment as we open them. And so it was for the women as they arrived at the tomb. As they come to the tomb, they find the stone rolled away, and they enter, and they don't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, we know the story. We know that Jesus has risen again. But, of course, the women at this point, they didn't know. And so they didn't have great joy at first when they saw the stone rolled away and the body not there. We might expect them to be joyful, but remember, we know the story. They didn't at the time. And so as they arrive at this tomb, this thing that they expect to be full, they expect the body to be there, well, there's confusion. They're wondering, well, what's happened? Where's the body? We read in Matthew, they were worried, even sad, we're told. They think that someone has taken the body of the Lord Jesus away. They're not joyful at this thing that they expect to be there has gone, and it's missing. They assume that the body has been taken away. And even as the angels explain to them that the body is not there because Jesus is risen, he said, why do you look for the living among the dead? The angels explain that this was meant to happen, that he died and rose again. Even then, they still don't understand fully what has happened. They're expecting a body there. And you can imagine the pain. These are people who followed Jesus for 3 years of his life. They've given up lots to follow him, and now they're already disappointed and sad that he's died. They're expecting him to be a savior, and he's died. And now as they want to go and honor the dead, the body is taken away, just compounding the sadness. Well, the angels explain, of course, that this was meant to happen. As they're there, they say, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. This was meant to happen. Jesus was meant to die and rise again. They'd not understood, even as they came to the tomb and saw that there was no body there, they hadn't understood that Jesus had died and risen again. The Jewish people had been expecting a Messiah, a Savior, a King, someone who would free them from Roman occupation. And all through the Old Testament, and as they read their scriptures, and all through the Old Testament, they were expecting someone to come who would be their Savior. And they were expecting someone to come and defeat the Romans. And yet it was the Romans who had put the Lord Jesus on the cross. They were confused. Everything seemed lost as Jesus had died. And yet the angels said that this is how it was meant to be. They were expecting rescue from the Romans and from Roman occupation. But as Jesus came, he came to save from a far greater enemy that they'd not understood yet. Jesus had come to save from death. Jesus beats that great enemy of death. He really did die on the cross. He had nails put through his hands and his feet, a spear in his side. He died on the cross. He was dead as he was put in the grave. And yet he rose again. Jesus didn't come to be a great political leader to defeat the Romans. He came to defeat the enemy of death. He died and he rose again. That was how it was meant to be. And so the women go off and they tell the disciples, Peter and John and the other disciples, what they'd seen. And of course, the disciples as well, their response is not surprising at first. As they come and tell the disciples in verse 11, we read, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And it would to us, wouldn't it, if someone came to you and said, look, someone who's just died 2 days ago has come alive again and has risen, it would seem like nonsense to us. It would seem like foolishness. It's not surprising, the response of the disciples. They don't believe the women. People don't rise from the dead. Why would they? It's not normal. This doesn't happen. And so the disciples don't believe. And yet Peter, off he goes, and he runs to the tomb and goes and sees for himself the empty tomb. So although the women were confused and disappointed initially and sad and wondered where this body had gone, it was all meant to happen. It was part of God's plan that Jesus should die and rise again. As we come to the box again, and as we come to that empty tomb that they're expecting to be full, and they had disappointment because it was empty, I wonder, are there other things that can just feel a bit like that box? Things that we expect to be full, and then they disappoint, and they're a bit empty. Well, isn't that sometimes how life can be? We expect it to be full and brimming and bursting and joyful and happy all the time. Optimism, expectation. And yet so often as we go through life, our expectation is that life will be full, and yet the reality is often underwhelming, and we think, well, it's just not quite as we expected. And often we can go through life just feeling a bit empty and like something is missing. This isn't how life should be, but we don't quite know what it is that's missing. Perhaps it's that holiday that you've been looking forward to, and then you're ill for the whole week, and you think, well, it promised so much, and yet it just felt a bit empty. And perhaps you catch yourself at times looking back through life and thinking, well, what might have been? Perhaps you think about your younger self, and you think of all the hopes and the dreams that you had, and you think, well, where have they all gone? Life was full of optimism, and I was going to do all of this in my life, and now it's not there. It's just feels a bit flat and empty. Life became hard. Finances just became a struggle. Relationships became complex. Illness got in the way. And even death perhaps ruins our plans. And often, if we're honest, it's our own selfishness and our own pride and our own greed that causes so much pain in life. Pain to others, pain to the ones that we love. Well, for the women and the disciples, at this point, all hope is gone. They've not understood what has happened. They've not understood that Jesus has risen from the grave. And as they're there, they're thinking, we followed Jesus for 3 years. For what? He's dead? The body's missing? What was the point? And there's disappointment as they came initially to that tomb. And perhaps as we go through life, we can ask similar questions. It seems like all hope and all joy has gone. Is this what life was really meant to be? Sometimes life just seems hard. It seems a slog. It seems an effort to get from one day to the next. And we ask, look, is this really what life was meant to be? Is this life as it was intended? And this is why the message of Easter and the message that Jesus died and rose again is so wonderful, because the answer is no, this isn't how life was intended. It wasn't meant to be like this. It wasn't always hard. Life wasn't always characterized by pain and death and disappointment that we see in this world. That's why Easter had to happen. Jesus had to come to restore what was lost. God, who is the giver of life, God, who is the giver of all good things, the one who gives you your next breath, my next breath, the one who provides the sun and the rain and food to grow, the God, the giver of life, the giver of joy, the giver of happiness. But the problem is we're cut off from him because of our sin. We're cut off from God because of the wrong that we've done. All those times when we're selfish and go our own way and say, I'm going to live the way that I want to and not the way that God intended me to live. All those times when we build life on anything other than God, even good things, we seek happiness in things that this world can offer instead of God's, as if they can give us what only God can. Perhaps we look for money or family or career satisfaction or our appearance or respect or power, and we look for those things and we think, well, they will make us happy, they will make life full, they will give us life as it was meant to be. And we find that actually there's an emptiness there. And all those times that we put those things in the place of God, those times where we do wrong and not worship God as we ought, that's why Jesus had to come. And that's why on Good Friday he had to die on the cross. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who'd never done anything wrong, that's why he had to come and die on the cross, as he took all of God's anger at our sin on himself. He willingly paid the penalty for our sin as he died on the cross. He took it all himself. For us to have life the way it was meant, the way that God intended, someone had to take the penalty for our wrong. And Jesus, he willingly did that on the cross. If you'll just trust him, he willingly takes your sin on himself on the cross so that you could have life the way that it was meant to be. Jesus had to come. He had to die on the cross. But then Jesus did what no one else has ever done. All other religious leaders are still dead in the grave. All other political leaders, they're dead in the grave, or they will die one day if they're still alive today. They're dead. They have not risen. Celebrities have come and gone. They've died. But Jesus did what no one else has ever done. He beat the grave. The grave of the Lord Jesus is empty. There's no one there. He is risen. What else can beat death? Who else can beat death? Jesus is the one who has died and risen again. He has beaten death as he came back to life on that first Easter Sunday. Have you ever thought about how much of life is spent just trying to avoid death? Why do you go to work each day? Well, it's to earn money to put food on the table, because you know that if you don't put food on the table, you don't eat, and ultimately you get ill and you die. We teach our children, well, this is how you live safely in the world. This is how you cross the road. This is how you live safely. Why? So they can grow up and they can survive and live in this world. We take medicine. We try and keep fit. Why? Because we know that if we don't do these things, ultimately it increases our chances of death, and so we try and delay it and prevent it. But deep down, we know that we can do all these things, and of course we do all these things. Rightly, we do all those things. We do all these things, and yet you know and I know that we can never beat the grave. One in one, die. And even though perhaps we bury our head in the sand and try not to think about death, we know that we will die one day. We cannot beat the grave forever. And yet Jesus did. Jesus is the one who did die, and God raised him from the dead. What other message is there that offers as much hope as Jesus dying and rising again? We will die one day, but Jesus has beaten the grave. God, the giver of life, has raised Jesus from the dead. It was proof that what Jesus did on the cross, as he died on the cross, he really did take the punishment for our sin. And God was satisfied that the penalty had been paid as Jesus had died on the cross. Sin and death was beaten as Jesus rose again. Did you notice as the disciples eventually saw the Lord Jesus, in verse 40, as Jesus has come, he said this and he showed the disciples his hands and his feet. Look at the response of the disciples. They didn't believe it because of joy and amazement. As they came into contact with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, they couldn't believe it at first. It doesn't happen. People don't rise. But they were joyful and amazed, and eventually they did come to understand and did come to believe that Jesus really had risen again. But they found joy and happiness as they saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as they went to the grave, they were expecting the grave to be full. but it was empty. And initially it was disappointment and confusion. But it turned to great joy as they came into contact with the risen Lord Jesus. They realized that it meant that Jesus, the one that they had followed, was alive. He had beaten the grave. And so when you next get that Amazon parcel that is massive with a tiny item in the corner, or when you next open that bag of crisps or bag of sweets and it's half empty and it's just a bit of a disappointment, remember the empty tomb, that they're expecting it to be full, and yet it was empty, and it wasn't a disappointment. Eventually, it was great joy as they realized that Jesus was alive. Well, we're here on Easter Sunday, and Easter Sunday is good news. It really is good news. As we look back to the resurrection, and as we look back and see what Jesus has done, the one who died and rose again, we can look forward with great hope that even though we die, yet we can live. We will rise again because Jesus has gone before. We can enjoy life as it was meant to be, eternal life with God, in relationship with him, the giver of all, everything that's good. We can enjoy eternal life forever because Jesus has beaten the grave. Because Jesus has beaten death, he promises that any who trust in him, any of you, if you'll put your trust in the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sin, that he has risen again, if you trust him, you can be confident of beating the grave too, because Jesus has gone before. And so this morning, I wonder if you've trusted him. Will you trust him as your Savior, the one who has died to pay for your sin, the one who has risen again to give you new life forever? Will you trust him? Have you trusted him? Have you acknowledged him to be your Savior? Why don't you pray? You can do it even this morning, right where you are. Pray and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and thank him for sending the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Will you do it? Will you pray and trust him as your Savior?